Tony Connolly, RTE's Europe editor, has been to the forefront of reporting the history-making events of recent times. But his documentary tonight, which airs on RTE One at 9:35pm, delves into history and a personal history of going back over a century ago. No, he's not ruminating on Ursula von der Leyen. No, he's not pondering Brexit. He's looking at the story of his own grandfather, Michael Connolly, who served first as a member of the Royal Irish Constabulary, the police force here in Ireland before Ireland gained independence, the RIC, and who subsequently went north after partition and became a member of the RUC, the Royal Ulster Constabulary. And Michael himself was a Catholic, and Catholics were definitely very much a minority in the RUC. We're joined by Tony on the line. Good morning to you, Tony. Thank you for joining us on Radio Kerry. And I know there's very strong Kerry connections in this story. But first of all, we'll start at the beginning with your grandfather, Michael Connolly. Why did you become so fascinated by his history?
Well, good morning. I was always intrigued by his story. Now, the thing is, he died before I was born, so I never knew him. He was never a presence growing up. I just knew very basic details that he had been in the RIC before partition, and then he had, rather than join the new Civic Guard, which later became the Garda Síochána, he went north and joined the RUC. But, you know, there wasn't many details floating around when I was growing up, except a few stories here and there. But it was when the controversy blew up in 2020 about the government's attempt to commemorate the RIC, that became such a controversial event. I thought, well, actually, maybe this is a really good time for me to try and do some research on my grandfather and maybe write a piece for the RTE website or something like that. But the more I was able to delve into it, the more things I uncovered, and eventually I thought, well, maybe this would make a documentary. So it became this detective story to try and uncover archives about him and you know, his journey and what his attitudes may have been, and you know, how maybe he processed all of the questions around the national question, the revolutionary period, and what the transition would have been like for him moving up to Northern Ireland after partition, because he did come from a very big Catholic family in East Galway. He was one of 13 children. So that's how the documentary came about, and it was a labor of love, obviously, for me, sitting in Brussels trying to do this in my spare time. And I had really fantastic help from a number of historians and experts who are in the documentary, who were able to uncover documents and archive material which, you know, painted a picture.
So tell us about your grandfather, Michael Connolly. He was born in County Galway in 1887. When did he join the RIC, the Royal Irish Constabulary?
Yeah, so he was born in 1887, and the 91 census for a place called Clonina, which is near Kilconnell, which is near Ballinasloe. I'm just trying to locate it there on the map. I mean, people will know where it is if they're local. He was one of 13 children. His father was identified as a shepherd. He was called Matthew Connolly. I think five of his siblings emigrated to America. He joined the RIC in 1908. There's an old photograph of him, probably taken during his training in Dublin. And then he was posted to Castle Gregory in the Dingle Peninsula. That was his first posting. And that was where he met my grandmother, who was called Nora Flynn. And she was a daughter of John Flynn, who was a school teacher in Castle Gregory. So I have memories of my grandmother growing up. She died in 1982, but I remember this very warm old lady sitting in her sitting room in Belfast with the strongest Kerry accent you could imagine.
She never lost it.
She never lost it at all. So part of the documentary is me trying to retrace my grandfather's steps and to learn about the social and political forces at that time and what it would have been like for him. So when he went to Castle Gregory in 1908. I mean, there are records of him at the Dingle Petty Sessions bringing cases to court. I mean, often for things like abuses of the alcohol laws or, you know, not having a light on your bicycle. You know, a lot of, petty crime that he was involved in prosecuting. So, you know, over time, you know, with the help of historians, I was able to, you know, go through old newspapers and find very fleeting references to him. But even though they were fleeting, they did open up a certain chapter here and there that you know, allowed me to build on that knowledge and to paint a wider picture.
And how long did he stay in Castle Gregory for, your grandfather, Tony?
So he was there until 1915. Now, my grandmother, Nora Flynn, she had a sister who died young, quite tragically, and I think her mother died around that time as well. So in the census of 1911, it's just my grandmother and her father left in the house in Castle Gregory in 1911. And I have a feeling that when my grandfather met my grandmother, she was not able to get married until her father had passed away. And once they did get married, under the rules of the RIC, they had to leave Carrick-on-Shore. The rules were very strict. You could not stay as an RIC man in a location where you had personal ties, like your wife was from there. And, you know, according to some of the historians I've interviewed for the documentary, she would have been vetted to see was she an appropriate wife for an RIC man. But given, you know, she was the daughter of the local school teacher, she would have been, you know, a respectable young lady, and that would have been seen as a respectable kind of marriage in 1915. And in fact, we found a description of the wedding in a newspaper called the Kerry Advocate in August of 1915. And it was on the front page. It was about three or four paragraphs in the bottom of the front page. And it was funny because the lead story on the newspaper was all about the First World War. It was all about international events. And then down at the bottom, you had a little headline saying wedding bells, a description of my grandmother and grandfather getting married and what the bride wore. There was obviously no photography at that time. There's no wedding photography, but you know, they describe what she wore and the fact that the young couple went to Dublin for their honeymoon by motor, as it was described, and that the friends and family wished the young couple years of connubial bliss. And I thought that was a very important sort of milestone, because that was August 1915. They were just married, had their lives ahead of them, and, you know, 1 year later you had the Easter Rising, and then very soon after that you had the War of Independence. So he was then posted to Carrick-on-Shore in South Tipperary with my grandmother, Nora Flynn. And there were quite a few Kerry men in the barracks, the RIC barracks in Carrick-on-Shore at that time.
Tony, will you stay with us? We just have to pause. Yes. And I have to ask, do you know how exactly did they vet your grandmother, Nora Flynn, to deem that she was a suitable wife for an RIC officer? You might ponder that. Maybe it's not possible to establish the vetting process. But we'll take a pause and we'll come back to you after these. We're speaking to Tony Connolly, Europe editor, whose documentary, A Hidden History, will air tonight on RTE1 at 9:35 p.m. It's about his grandfather, Michael Connolly, who was an RIC officer and then, after partition, served a number of years in the north as an RUC officer, a very unusual position for a Catholic to serve in, organisation for a Catholic to serve in those days, or entirely through the RUC history. We'll be talking to Tony about this and more about his fascinating documentary after we take these. We're talking to Tony Connolly, Europe editor with RTE, whose documentary Tony Connolly, A Hidden History, will air tonight on RTE1 at 9:35 p.m. It's about his grandfather, Michael Connolly, from County Galway, who was an RIC constable from Galway and who spent a number of years in Castle Gregory, where he met his wife, Nora, and then after partition, went north and joined the RUC. Tony, after Castle Gregory, you were stationed to Carrick and Shore in County Tipperary. But I first have to ask you, you said that your grandmother, Nora Flynn from Castle Gregory, was vetted to see if she would make a suitable wife for an RIC officer. Was it possible to find out exactly what the vetting process entailed?
It wasn't precisely. I mean, there was a very strong disciplinary code that was associated with the RIC. I mean, the RIC had been established in 1836, and you know, there were very strict rules pertaining to, you know, what height you had to be, what sort of character, and it actually became the template for all colonial police forces in the British Empire. But one of those requirements was that if you were to get married, you know, your wife had to be suitable. So I assume that they would have done background checks on whether the wife had been involved in any agrarian agitation or conflict around the land wars in the 19th century. But you know, I spoke to Martin Lynch, who's a fantastic historian around Kerry and Castle Gregory. He was an extremely helpful contributor to the documentary. We met him in Tralee last summer when we were filming the documentary, and he was saying that, you know, at that time, around 1908, it would have been a relatively benign period in Irish society. It was after the land wars had ended and there was land redistribution happening, and so he would have, I suppose, had a fairly, you know, warm or at least tolerant reception when he appeared as a young recruit in Castle Gregory in 1908. He even says that, you know, he would have been quite a catch for Nora Flynn in Castle Gregory at that time, which I find quite interesting. I've a few.
Have we lost Tony there? Oh, Tony, we just lost you there a second. You were about to say you had a number of...
Yeah, so I had a number of stories that were shared with me, to me from, well, first of all, my father, but also my Aunt Mary, who is my father's sister. Now, she's 98 and living in Toronto and is a great font of knowledge. And she talks about the times that my grandfather was meant to be on patrol, but he was out courting my grandmother in the Ahalies. Is that around Castle Gregory, the sand dunes and beaches around there? So it was probably quite an idyllic first posting for my grandfather. You know, coming as it did before the War of Independence and the Easter Rising.
And of course, the climate changed utterly then for RIC officers like him. He was then sent to Carrick-on-Shore. What was that like in Tipperary?
Well, Carrick-on-Shore was in South Tipperary, and you know, after the Easter Rising and then the executions, there was a lot of activity around the country. A lot of Sinn Féin clubs were formed. There were drills happening, parades. The IRA were starting to get very active, and there was some activity in Carrick-on-Shore. Now, some of the records we've gone through around there, you know, don't depict Carrick-on-Shore as a real hotbed of activity. I mean, I think there was somebody there had a printing press who was printing Sinn Féin posters, and the police went to investigate that. But it did become a lot more active later on. Countess Markovic went there after the Rising to give a lecture, but there were clashes apparently between IRA Sinn Féin supporters, and there was a group of women who would have been in receipt of money from the British Army because their sons or their husbands were fighting in the First World War. So there were all these local tensions around conscription, the First World War, the Easter Rising. So it wasn't a very clear-cut situation down there, but certainly, you know, it would have been, there would have been a gradual ratcheting up of tension that my grandfather would have been subject to. Now, we found out that in 1916 he was involved in the rescue of a family from a burning building. It was a family called the Nash family. They were a very well-known Protestant family in Carrick-on-Shore, and he helped pull the family out of the building with two other policemen, and he got a medal for that from the Royal Society for the Protection of Life from Fire, which is quite a rare medal to get, and it was written up in the local papers. So that was the kind of domestic policing he was doing. But then in 1917, we had the beginning of the boycott. The IRA issued a boycott against all RIC men and their families, so they couldn't shop in any of the shops. So my grandmother wasn't able to buy stuff in the shops in Carrick on Shure, according to this boycott. And there are incidents in the documentary which depict how the boycott affected my grandfather personally and specifically. So, you know, it was a gradual ratcheting up of tension and conflict, and then at a certain point, there was an attempt on my grandfather's life, according to a story that my Auntie Mary tells me, which was that he was in a shop in Carrick on Shure, and a gunman came in to shoot him, and the people in the shop said, "You're not going to shoot him in front of his son, are you?" And his son was my uncle Matt, who was there. He was 4 years old at that time, and the gunman decided not to carry out the killing, but sort of warned my grandfather that he was a marked man. Now, years later, when my grandfather was a policeman for the RUC in Larne in the 1930s, the Duffy's Circus was setting up a tent in Larne one summer. My grandfather with my father went in to have a mosey round, and apparently he came out with his face completely white. And the story was that he'd walked into the man who tried to kill him in 1920.
My lord.
Who happened to be, you know, part of Duffy's Circus. So, you know, that was just an extraordinary encounter.
Certainly.
Years later. Who knows what thoughts were going through his mind at that point.
Do you know what made your grandfather decide to go north after partition?
Yeah.
And join the RUC?
The history of the RUC, right up to disbandment which was in May 1922, was that Michael Collins had an idea that the new police force that he would establish in the new Ireland would potentially be open to RIC officers, even though they were targeted in the War of Independence. And he actually got, I think it was 12 RIC officers to advise him on running a police force, but the vast majority of RIC men did not want to take part in the new police force, including my grandfather. And my father would always have said that he felt that the new police force in Ireland, which the Civic Guard, which later became the Garda Síochána, was largely composed of ex-IRA men and men from flying squads. So that was a reason for him not to do that. So he did go to the UK for a while, but couldn't get work there. My grandmother's brother Tim, also from Castle Gregory, had done the civil service exam with Michael Collins in the 1900s at the same time, and he had stayed in the civil service in London, and my grandfather and grandmother stayed there for a while. But it looks to me like they just couldn't get work. And he had three children at that stage. And his brother-in-law had joined the RUC in Newry and said to my grandfather, "Look, there's work available in the RUC. They're taking men on." And ultimately, 1,300 RIC men would go on to join the RUC in Northern Ireland. And he was one of them. And he went, first of all, to Ballycastle in County Antrim, which at the time was quite a Republican town by the sea. And then he was posted to Armoy, which is a few miles away, and then finally to Larne, which is the port, obviously, which was a very loyalist Presbyterian town. So that was where he ended up.
And he encountered sectarianism, didn't he?
He did. I mean, he was in charge of crowd control during match day in Larne at that time, and he had to be fairly disciplinarian, and I think he probably made a few enemies when he was doing that, because they would have known he was a Catholic. So at a certain point, there was graffiti near the barracks saying that Sergeant Connolly was an IRA man. So that just goes to show what a change in fortunes he had.
Absolutely. Well, I really can't wait to see the documentary tonight, Tony Connolly, Hidden
Real
History, which will air at 9:35 p.m. If I could ask briefly, and this is just, as you said, you mentioned at the start, back at the start of 2020, before the general election, there was this controversy when this state commemoration of the Royal Irish Constabulary and the Dublin Metropolitan Police had been postponed following public and political backlash. It was Minister for Justice at the time, Charlie Flanagan, was forced to defer the ceremony after there was a lot of criticism about the plans. And when you think about who we remember, and it comes up again today because over the weekend, because Sinn Féin MP John Finucane, there's been controversy over his decision to attend and be the main speaker at an event to commemorate South Armagh IRA volunteers, and he said there was nothing to celebrate in conflict, but commemoration was a right which everyone is entitled to. It seems though in recent times that commemoration, the right to remember everyone, doesn't seem to have been extended to members of the Dublin Metropolitan Police and to the RIC.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the nature of the controversy at the time, because of the actions of the Black and Tans. I think people were not able to differentiate between the Black and Tans and the RIC, but that work is ongoing, and sure, we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the documentary. I can't wait to watch it. We've been speaking to Tony Connolly, Europe editor with RTE, about his grandfather, Michael Connolly, who was an RUC officer and spent some time here in Castle Gregory, where he was an RIC officer and married a Castle Gregory woman, Nora Flynn, in 1915.